Welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast with Gary Atkins, pastor of Willing Vessels Christian Center in King, North Carolina. In a postmodern culture, Pastor Atkins preaches an old-fashioned message under a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, pointing men and women to the truth of Scripture and freedom found in Jesus Christ. Pastor Atkins believes the body of Christ has a voice, and when we declare Jesus is Lord, we have a voice of power. Here's a recent message from the Tabernacle of Willing Vessels Christian Center.
What's good news to a poor man? You don't have to be poor no more. Amen. What's good news to a sick man? You don't have to be sick anymore. What's good news to a blind man? You can see spiritually and have a new life. That's good gospel news, isn't it? But he was anointed with the Spirit. John 3:34 says that God gave him the Spirit without measure. Not a double portion. The Spirit without measure. He was baptized and covered and clothed with the anointing of the Spirit of God. And he ascended to heaven, John. And he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to anoint the body of Christ, which you and I are. It started at the head, and the anointing of the Spirit goes down the body. Now, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's with us now. He's with you who are watching. He's all around, isn't he? But there's also the manifested presence of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but that's what I want to see, where people are made whole, where people are radically transformed by God's power. But notice he said, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for men to dwell together in unity." Ephesians 1 through 3, chapters 1 through 3, are the call of the believer. Paul tells us how that we are called by God, elected by God, saved by God's grace. But then chapters 4 through 6, he gets practical and he says, here is the walk of the believer. So you have the call of the believer, chapters 1 through 3. Chapters 4 through 6, you have how we are supposed to walk and live out our faith. Now, we can't do this in the flesh, can we? We can't do this by making a decision that we're going to do it. The only decision that we can make is that we are going to walk in the Spirit and surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. That's the only decision that you and I can make. And we walk in the Spirit with the help of his anointing. Amen. Shout if you want to be anointed. Shout yes. With that anointing, it will help you walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hallelujah. All right, verse 1 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk. Everybody shout walk. Worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Vocation is another word for calling. Can I tell you this morning that every one of you in this place, you are called, number one, to live for Jesus Christ. I truly don't believe that anybody was born necessarily to be lost. That's why he said that it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus, who will have all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So I truly believe that if you're here this morning, that you are part of the elect of God, part of the chosen of God, and I'm telling you, allow that to bring you into the family of God, because he has called you to himself. It's not by chance that you came into this church today. It's not by chance that you're here hearing this message, hearing the word of God. It's not because you're pleasing somebody. It's not because you said you'd be here and, well, now I'm here. No, it's because the divine hand of God strategically placed you in that pew so that you could hear his word. And here's the deal. This may be the last time you ever get the opportunity to hear his word. Now, what is your decision going to be? Are you going to say yes to Jesus Christ, or are you going to continue to deny him and walk after your own lust lust and desires in a pit of despair. I'm telling you today that he can reach way, way down into the pit of despair and pull you up and set your feet on a solid rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. If you'll simply say, yes, I will answer the call. Many are called, Jesus said, but few are chosen. What separates the called and the chosen? Well, the ones who were called and the ones who are chosen, they answer the call. Amen. You're called this morning, so I want you to answer the call and say yes to Christ because you're called. But beyond that, ladies and gentlemen, those who are born again, hear me today. You are called into the ministry. I'm not talking about standing in a pulpit. Many of you shouldn't and couldn't stand in a pulpit. But he has called you to some type of ministry to fulfill the purpose that he has placed upon your life. And he's imploring us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, that's humility. And with long-suffering, patience, forbearing. Everybody shout forbearing. Forbearing one another in love. What does forbearing mean? Well, when you render it in the Greek, it actually means to put up with, to tolerate one another. Amen. Not get mad at your brother and go to another church, right? Not get mad at the preacher and say, well, I'm just going to find somewhere else to go. No. He's saying forbear one another, put up with one another, tolerate one another. Because guess what? Not everybody is as spiritually mature as you are. Amen. And sometimes we just have to look at our own selves in the mirror, right? And if you're going to do ministry and you're going to fulfill the call that God has placed upon your life, I'm telling you, there's going to be some times of frustration. You're going to want to pull all of your hair out. Case in point, right? But you have to learn with the love of God to tolerate and forbear one another. People are going to say things that will offend you. They're going to hurt your feelings. But you are in love to tolerate and forbear. Because this is what develops unity. And this is what develops the power of God in your life. Because believe it or not, there are people in your life, spiritual authority, that know way more than you do about ministry and the call of God. And if you could just humble yourselves and say, you know what, I need to listen to that and take the instruction, you will have a far more blessed ministry than if you reject the instruction, turn your back, and walk away. Endeavoring, verse 3, to keep the what? The unity. Everybody shout unity. Unity. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity of the Spirit. Endeavoring. That means you make an attempt. You try. Come on. Amen. Amen. You put forth some effort. If you say you're going to do something for God, do it with your whole heart. Amen. Give him your whole heart. Can I tell you, there is nothing more important than your spiritual life. Parents, ball games are not more important. Soccer is not more important. Baseball is not more important. Football is not more important. I'm telling you, work is not more important. There is nothing more important than your spiritual life. I tell you, I see a trend. I've seen it for years now. You know, we used to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night prayer meeting. Come on, amen. Oh, yeah, and Sunday school. Now, you're lucky to get folks in church for Sunday morning worship. Wednesday night's falling by the wayside. And before you know it, it'll be going every other Sunday. And every other Sunday, we'll just go live, because that's the new cool thing to do now. Watch it on live, Facebook. Then before you know it, it'll be once a month we gather together because people just don't have time anymore. And then before you know it, people will quit altogether. A new poll has come out in America. 47% of people declare that they are part of a religious organization or congregation. Amen. And I know the cool thing is to say, well, I don't belong to any church, and to be some kind of spiritual gypsy. But God hasn't called you to be a spiritual gypsy. Amen. He hasn't called you just to float around and go wherever you feel like he's leading you to go. He's called you to a place. He's called you to a ministry. He's called you to a spiritual covering that looks after your soul and looks after your life. And you have to endeavor to keep that unity in the spirit of the bond of peace. Because if you want peace in your life, make church, God's house, and God the number one priority in your life, because once again, there is nothing more important than your spiritual life. And I'm telling you, the enemy will come in there and he will kill, steal, and destroy. Mark his word. He will do that. You have to make an endeavor. You have to put forth an effort. You have to make it a priority to strengthen your spiritual life. You believe it? Say amen. Amen. All right, look with me. Verse 4. There is one body. Say one body. And one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One body right there. If you want to fix the racial tension in America, preach the gospel. Why? Because the gospel says that there is one body. Did you hear what I said? Red, yellow, black, and white, Jew, Gentile, male, or female. When you come to the foot of the cross, we are all on level ground, and we need the red shed blood of Jesus Christ to heal our heart and our soul. Hallelujah to God. And you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord. Understand the text. The context being unity. Which means he's emphasizing one. Right? Amen. One Lord. That's one supreme authority. Everybody say one. One supreme authority. And that is the Lord God. Amen. Amen. One faith. The only place proper to place your faith is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Not Allah, not Buddha, not higher Krishna, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you hearing me today? Jesus Christ, the one faith. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes before the Father except through me. I'm telling you, that's not popular anymore. I know everybody wants to put a coexist sticker on their bumper, but I'm telling you, when we get to glory, Jesus Christ will be the supreme Lord of our lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he is the way, truth, and life. One baptism. Now, many have taken this text and says there is no spirit baptism. There is no water baptism. The only one baptism is into the body of Christ. In this context, it is one baptism into the body of Christ. But there are three baptisms in Scripture. Into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13, we are all baptized by one spirit into the body of Christ. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then you are to be baptized in water, not for heaven, but to obey a command to identify with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. In this context, there is one baptism. We are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, which means we are all part of that one body. Amen. One God, verse 6, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Amen. Notice it says he is above all. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the supreme sovereign God. Elohim is his name. Yahweh is what he's referred to from the burning bush. Tell them, I am that I am has sent you. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi, my banner of protection. Jehovah Tsidkenu, my righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is always present. Jehovah Shalom, the God who is peace. Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals all my diseases. That is who he is. And we can call him by name. And he is the one supreme God. One, you see. And we're one in him. Christ Jesus. Unity is what brings his power. Unity is what brings his anointing. Ladies and gentlemen. You have to be one with God. In Christ Jesus, number one. And secondly, we have to be one with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and forbearing one another, tolerating one another. And yes, that includes your spouse. Come on, amen. And your church family. My wife is shouting, amen. Forbearing. I forbear him. Tolerate. And let me say this. Tolerance and acceptance are two different things. We live in a culture where a small sect of our society wants us to tolerate them. They don't want you to tolerate them. They want you to accept them and accept their way of life. And if you don't, you will be punished for it. But I can say that I tolerate everyone. I don't care who walks into this church building, how they identify, what they call themselves. I will tolerate that in the love of God. But the next thing I'll say is that when the word of God is preached, you hear me today. When God's word is preached, people are faced with a decision to die to themselves and resurrect to new life in Christ. And they say, I was born this way. I can't help it. Oh, even if you were born that way, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. You are not to live after the lusts of your own flesh. You are to die to yourself that Christ may live within you. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace. Thank God for grace. Theologians call it unmerited favor. But when you get down to the brass tacks, let me tell you what grace is. It's God doing something for you that you could not do for yourself. That's the grace of God. And for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly and holy in this present age. That's what grace teaches us. But he's talking about here the grace that is given to you according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You're gifted this morning. You're gifted to do something for God. Oh, you're gifted, you see. When I walk into this building on Sunday morning and I see the shiny floor and the freshly vacuumed carpet, I'm singing Brenda's praises. I don't know if she's here or not, but I sing her praises. Glory to God. Gifted to take care of God's house. Come on, amen. Gifted to take care of our children. When Alicia Bennett has a lesson planned for our kids, what a gift that is. Amen. When those take care of the babies, what a gift that is. Amen. When they stand up here and sing his praises, when they stand back there and give you words to read on a screen, and when they provide a live feed for people to watch, what a gift that is. According to the measure of God's grace that he's given you, is what he's saying here. Every one of us is giving that gift. Put your finger there. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Quickly, Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. If you're watching, I hope you're joining us. It's such a joy to have you. Isn't it great to be able to use technology like this? All right, Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, this is Paul again, of course, and all members have not the same office, we're not all called to do the same thing. One of the major problems in ministry is that the self-centeredness of the sin nature plays out oftentimes. People want the microphone. They want to be heard. They want to be seen. Praise and worship in the church today can be the Achilles heel of a congregation. I've seen that. Why? Because there's a spirit of Lucifer that works within their midst. He was a worshiping angel, see. The Bible says that there were pipes prepared in him. So if you're in worship ministry, you need to guard against that type of spirit. Come on, amen. If you're in pulpit ministry, you need to guard against that type of spirit. Amen. Because he's given you a gift according to the grace that he's given it to you. And you cannot measure your success by somebody else's rule. Amen. He may have called you to win one person to Jesus your whole life. He may have called me to win 100. He may have called Billy Graham to win millions. But if we're faithful to the call, that's all that matters. We don't have to measure our success against somebody else's rule. Somebody might have 30 in their group. You may have one. But be faithful over the one just as you would be faithful over the 30. And I promise you, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. According to the grace that he's given you, right? And all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. And every one member is one of another. We are in this thing. We are laborers together. Everybody say that. We are laborers together. Having then gifts, plural, differing according to the grace, there it is, that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. In other words, I'm prophetically speaking right now. I'm encouraging you, I'm exhorting you, not foretelling, prophesying in context of encouraging and building up and uplifting. Some people have the ability to do this by the grace of God. Some people not so much. If you're a teacher, don't try to be a preacher. Come on, amen. Don't try to be something you are not. Don't build your ministry behind what somebody else has already accomplished. Amen. It's okay to have mentors. It's okay to have people to give you direction. But don't ever think that you could get up here and sound like me. And I won't ever think I could get up here and sound and look like you. Come on, amen. Understand the gift and the grace that he has given you and use it for the glory of God. Amen. Verse 7, or ministry. Now, in the Greek, this actually translates assistance. Everybody can do ministry. Everybody can open the door and say hello to someone who comes into God's house. Come on, amen. Everybody can use their gift hanging a light fixture or whatever. Fixing the toilet, hanging drywall. I don't know. Use the gift that God has given you for his glory. Come on, amen. Assistance. Let us wait for our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. That's self-explanatory. He that exhorteth. Now, this is an interesting word. In the Greeks, it's parakleos, which is where we get the root word paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the comforter. So maybe you are someone who's called to exhort somebody, to come alongside them and to encourage them in the Lord. When you're helping a neighbor, when you're speaking words of life into their heart and into their family, that's exhorting, that's encouraging. You are actually taking the role with the Holy Spirit and bringing comfort to somebody's life. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit just doesn't show up in physical form and bring comfort to people. He does it through people. He does it through you and I. He manifests the 9 gifts of the Spirit through us. And the best times are when he does it and you don't even know it. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Called to be an exhorter. Yes. Assistance. Encouraging. And he that giveth. Uh-oh. Everybody highlight that one. Did you know there's a gift of giving? Because there are some who can give way more than others. And maybe you have the gift of giving. Come on, amen. Amen. Giving of your money. Giving of your time. Giving of your talent. Giving of your intellectual ability. Yes. Come on, amen. Yes. Giving of what you have for the cause of Christ. Dwelling together in unity. Let him give with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. You know what that means? That's a fancy way of saying don't pretend. Amen. Do not pretend to love somebody. Come on, amen. I'm telling you, when, oh, hallelujah to God, when you are full of his anointing, of his spirit, you can't help but love your enemies. You can't help but love your neighbor, because that's the fruit of the spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So when you're walking in the Spirit, walking in the unity of the Spirit as the body of Christ, you can't help but get along with one another. Yes, there will be disagreements. Yes, there will be arguments. Yes, there will be dysfunction. Yes, there will be folks who get offended. But learning how to respond and to deal with that is a major key, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, you can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. You can't discipline yourself enough. You need God's Holy Spirit to help you love like Jesus said we're to love. What did he say in John 13:34? A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. For by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now we read that passage and say, well, I just need to love more. No, you need to read the passage and say, the Holy Spirit needs more of my life so that I can love like God has called me to love. And that's the only way it could happen, through the help of the Spirit. Amen. I want you to step out from where you are, and I want you to walk up to the front here. And what you're saying is that I give my life to Christ. I want you to do that today. Amen. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Amen. And when you stand before him, and you will stand before him, don't you want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? Boy, I sure do. And I want you to experience that today. Say with me, Lord Jesus, here I am. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I need you. I desire you. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. And today, I belong to him. I am part of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I sure hope you prayed that prayer believing that Jesus has forgiven you of your sin and that he has transformed your life from this moment forward. And I'm so glad that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast. And we pray that it has been a blessing to you. If so, we would encourage you to consider giving a financial donation to help the Voice of Power stay on the air. You can give in three ways. The simplest way to give would be through text message, by simply texting a dollar amount to 336-747-3336 and following the instructions. And also, you can go to the website at voiceofpower.org and click on the give link, and it will take you step by step on how to give financially to the Voice of Power. And thirdly, you can give by mail, P.O. Box 2439, King, North Carolina 27021. And once again, we're delighted that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast, and tune in next week at the same time. And I pray that the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, would be acceptable in his sight, for he is your strength and your redeemer.